Welcome in once again. Of course, today we are being presented by our friends at Impact Media. Those are pretty awesome guys. Of course, since this being Revolution Zone, we got the season starting in a couple weeks. And like I've been saying the last couple weeks, I wanted to get on some of the newest additions to the team so you guys could get to know them. And of course, bringing back some of the veterans. That brings in my very special guest on the line right now. And of course, he is wide receiver Doug Pierce that we want to welcome to Revolution Nation. How you doing, Doug?
I'm doing pretty good, man. How about yourself?
I am. I'm excited and amped up. It's always fun getting to talk to you guys. And like I said before the show started, it was for some reason really warm today, so it feels good.
I said it was a beautiful day out here.
And are you in Allen or the Dallas area right now, or are you still at home in ARP?
Well, I stay in Fort Worth, so I live out here permanently.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. That way, if people see you in and around town, they can stop by and say hello, or they can buy tickets and see you perform.
I would prefer them to buy the tickets and come watch us play.
Yeah, one of your teammates, Rico Nelson, that was on a couple weeks ago, said he met Frankie Solomon Jr. at a gym somewhere, and he was telling me off the show that a couple fans recognized Frankie and then recognized him as well, and he was like, yeah, it was pretty cool, but at the same time, it's a little weird because now they know we go to the gym.
Yeah, I've known Frankie for a while, so he's a really big name when it comes to Revolution football.
Well, it was funny that when I had him on last year, I nicknamed him the franchise because he's not only the longest tenured guy, but he seems to always be the face of the team. When people would think of the Revolution over the years, they would, or even the Allen Wranglers back then, they would always think of Frankie, and then now he gets his own fat head at the new office, and they call him the franchise. So, I mean, I feel like I took credit there.
Yeah, he is the franchise. Man, he's a really good player, but I played against him a couple of times, man. We had some really good battles on the field.
Can you beat him in a foot race?
Can I beat him in a foot race? I think I can. I'm never going to say I can't. I'm pretty sure I can beat him in a foot race. We'll have to race this season to see.
Yeah, because as I like to say, there's a difference between running flat-footed in your underwear and running with pads on being chased.
Yeah, man, I'm 6'5". I have a long stride, so it'll be a good race.
Oh, this sounds like I'm sure Frankie will hear this at some point if he's not listening live. Frankie, if you hear that, I think you're getting challenged again. I'm gonna have to make my way over to a practice. I want to see some of these battles.
That's an absolute challenge. That's an absolute challenge, Frankie, wherever you are, man.
Well, definitely, like I said, it's great finally getting you on the show here, and not finally like I hadn't been able to get you, but it's great getting you on the show. And I like to start off with really your story to this point, like how you got from, you know, growing up in Texas all the way to being the Revolution. And, of course, we'll go back and hit over some of the stuff you say as well.
I grew up in ARP, deep East Texas, about 12 miles outside of Tyler. So it's a really small town, man, and there wasn't really a lot of recruiting for me coming out of school, coming from such a small town. So I had to take the small school route. I ended up going to Blinn Junior College. I played there for a year, and I transferred to Abilene Christian back in 2008. I redshirted there, and I ended up taking a year off. I had, you know, a couple personal problems, and I ended up at Friends University, where I played my last 2 years of college football. After that, it was 2011 was my draft year, and that's when they had the lockout. So since they had the lockout, a lot of scouts wasn't really coming to look at the smaller schools. So I ended up playing with Wichita back in 2011 with the Wild for like the first five games. And after that, straight to Winnipeg, two seasons. And then back down to the AFL, to San Antonio, and then here.
Wow, and of course, like I said, we are happy to have you a part of Rev Nation. Whether you know much about the fan base or not, I can definitely tell you they are a very passionate fan base, and they care a lot about their players.
Yes, sir. When we played, my very first professional game was actually in Allen. And the fans was pretty rowdy. They I talked to a couple of them during the game, man. They were real rowdy.
I can definitely attest to that. Whether you watch it, whether you watch it home or whether you're there live in the Allen Event Center, those fans get into it. But you said, obviously, not much recruitment because your draft year happened to fall on a lockout, which is, man, I really feel bad for you on that one because that lockout year was rough, I think, all the way around, but especially because they didn't want to go to the smaller schools. What's it like, knowing information like that? Did it kind of get you down a little bit, or did you just say, well, then I got to take a different route?
I think at first it got me down because I had so much communication with teams before the lockout had actually hit, so we was all pretty positive about me at least getting into a camp. And then when it hit and we lost all communication, I only had, maybe one scout come to the pro day. It was devastating, man. I took the whole year off. I didn't play arena or anything. I just really wanted to decide if I wanted to move forward with football or not.
And ultimately you decided that you did want to keep playing. At what point in your lifetime very young lifetime, at least compared to me. But what time in your lifetime did you realize that you could play on the next level?
I was actually pretty young, man. I think it was back in Pop Warner when I was like 8 or 9. My dad was real hard on me. Like, if you've seen the show Friday Night Tights, I guess how my dad was with me about football. We trained every day. He was very particular with details. So it was from that age, I knew, I didn't have a choice. This was going to be the route I was going to take.
That's definitely awesome. And it's good that you found out early because that way you didn't have to, waste time trying to figure out what you might or might not want to do.
Yeah, there was a couple years in there with my height where I thought it was going to be basketball. I think 2 or 3 years in high school, I thought maybe – it would be basketball, but he quickly changed my mind back to football.
Yeah, I think it's a better route. The money's a little quicker in the NBA, but there's less certainty because there's only, you can only be one of like 12 people on a team.
Right. That's what he explained to me. He explained about how the NFL draft had 7 rounds and the NBA had maybe 2 or 3, so my chances of going pro were better in football than it was in basketball.
Exactly, and the NBA has it to where after the second round, if a team doesn't want to pick anymore, they can just drop out.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's why this year there was only 2.5 rounds or 3.5 rounds or something because a lot of the teams were like, "Nah, we don't need any more people."
Oh man, that's terrible for the guys who thought they had a chance to get drafted later on.
Yeah, exactly. So your dad was ahead of the curve on that one. He knew something the rest of us didn't.
Don't tell him that, though.
Well, in case he's listening, shout out to your dad, and thanks for being ahead of the curve, because if not, we wouldn't be talking to Doug right now.
Yeah, Pop, appreciate it, man. Love you, man.
We always like to give shout outs to those who don't think they're going to get shout outs. That's why I want to make sure I get all of them here. We want to give Abilene Christian, we want to give Friends University, we want to give Blinn College. And we'll get to the Bombers and the Talons here in a minute. But shout out to those guys because those are schools that aren't always talked about, but they're still awesome schools. I know people from at least 2 of them.
Yes, sir. And shout out to ARP. ARP, Texas, they get no love. Because it's so small. It's like a town of 900 people. So I have to give a shout out to ARP because that town made me. I'm a product of ARP, Texas.
Well, what was it like growing up in ARP, Texas?
Man, it's a country town, man. It's a town with one stoplight in it. I think it's maybe 5 miles long.
Wow.
That's it, man. It's cows, horses everywhere. It's a real country town. Like, we didn't really have much to do but work out. That's all that was there.
Work out and play sports, right?
That's it.
And, of course, you went to ARP High School. Is there more than one high school in ARP, or is that pretty much it?
That's it, man. Just ARP High School. That's all it is. And that's not really big enough for another school. We was when I was in school, we was 2A. I believe they're 3A now.
Hey, moving up in the world.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Exactly. You know, as far as when you played at ARP High School, how did it compare to when you started into Abilene Christian, you know, Friends, Blinn College, all those?
Man, it was a big difference, man. I think in ARP, our plays was real vanilla. And when I got into Blinn, just the play calling as well as the talent level was completely different. Like, going to junior college, it's so much competition because everybody's trying to go to Division One. So it's a fight every day. Even if you're first string, like your first string 1 week, you might not be starting the next week because it's so much competition. And that's something that in ARP I didn't have to deal with because it was, you know, it's only so many people on the team down there.
Right. Yeah, that'd be a definite difference. And of course, it's something I ran into as I grew up, where, you know, when you're little or even in a middle school or high school environment, it's usually, you know, go to the tree and turn around, and then you get somewhere, you know, you get to college, and suddenly it's a spider 2Y banana or something, as Gruden said.
Yeah. That terminology is crazy. It's so much stuff you have to remember, so many audibles. There's so many routes that you can run off of different play calls, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, I imagine it is. What's something others might not know about you?
Something others might not know about me. I think people know it. Like, I'm real quiet and to myself. I think many people don't know that because I'm always smiling and I try to talk to everybody. But I'm real quiet. That's why when I went to Winnipeg and started getting more attention, it was a shock to me. Like, everywhere you go, people talking to you. With me being quiet, kind of took me out of my comfort zone a little bit.
Well, I can attest to the many friends I have up north, especially in that area, and it's kind of a Canadian thing. The way it is, kind of a southern thing sometimes, that Canadians are not afraid to talk to anybody, and they're usually pretty friendly.
Oh, yeah. Man, my time in Winnipeg was the best. The Winnipeg fans, just Canada in general, they were so nice. It was totally different than being here in the States.
Well, what were some of the differences in playing in Canada? Because a lot of people think, oh, it's up there. They play hockey. They don't know how to play football. But I argue all the time. I spent most of this past year watching as many Canadian games as I could.
Man, the competition level up there is – I think people think it's a really big drop-off between the NFL and the CFL, and it's not. A lot of those players can actually come over here and play. One of my closest friends, one of my teammates from Winnipeg, was Chris Matthews, and he played, you know, with the Seahawks last year, and he's with the Ravens now. Like, the talent level is, it's not really that much of a drop off.
Well, you talk about being friends with Chris Matthews. How long have you been friends with him?
I met him there my rookie year in Winnipeg. It was me and him battling for the last starting position. And, of course, he ended up winning, and I became the backup. But we ended up working out together, and he was teaching me how to run routes and teaching me different things that was helping my game get better.
All right, Doug, you still there?
Yes, sir.
Sorry about that. Somehow we got disconnected here at the studio. It might be a storm blowing in or something, but you probably answered, and they probably heard you, but if you can, say what you said again about going for the last spot with your friend Chris Matthews.
Yeah, me and Chris, my rookie season, which was 2012, 2013, I believe, me and him were fighting for the last starting spot. of course, he ended up winning, and I ended up becoming the backup. But he was just the person who was teaching me how to run routes, teaching me about, you know, reading defenses and about reading coverages and all that stuff that I didn't know prior to playing in the CFL.
So you're able to teach each other a lot, I would imagine.
Wow, yeah. My thing, I was the speedster and he was the technician, so we was helping each other.
Definitely so. And it's do you still talk to him now?
Man, I haven't spoke to Chris in a while, man. You know, he went to the Super Bowl and got Hollywood on me. So I haven't spoke to him in a good little while.
So Chris, if you're listening, of course you're listening. If you're listening, you need to call up Doug.
Yeah, man, hit me up. We can play dominoes again. I think I owe him a whooping because last time we played, he won. I had to do 100 push-ups, so I owe him one.
Wow. Of course, since another friend of yours now, John Navarez, since you're probably listening, John, if you won't put a ping pong table in the clubhouse, he told me no on that one a couple weeks ago. How about some dominoes at least?
Yeah, get some dominoes. Some dominoes or some cards or something like that. That'll work.
Exactly. He said nothing but pen and paper so you guys could watch film, but I said, you got to have some.
You got to have something for the downtime, you know, when we have 15 to 20 minutes to spare after film. Dominoes would be perfect.
Oh, yeah. And, I wanted to get into one last thing with Winnipeg. Do you know the fight song for the Blue Bombers? I'm not going to make you sing it.
I know a little bit of it. It's been a while. I know a little bit of it.
Yeah, the Bombers Victory March. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, definitely YouTube it. It's really cool that they have their own theme song.
Yeah, it's really cool, man. Especially to hear 50, 60, 70,000 people all singing and dancing to it at one time, man. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a different kind of crowd up there. Go ahead.
Y'all said the Canadians, they're like you said, people think Canada was strictly hockey, but no, they love their football in Canada. They love football.
Yep. Hockey may be number one up there, but, I mean, everything from curling to football to pro wrestling, they're just as big a fans of sports as we are.
Yes, sir.
Do you watch game film?
I watch some game film. I'm probably not as big as coaches would like me to be on watching game film. I'm more of the believer that if I just do what I'm supposed to do, if I take care of myself and make sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, there's nobody, no matter what the defender does, he's not going to be able to stop me. So it's really more on myself and not on him.
I can definitely get behind that strategy for sure. When you do watch game film, what are you looking for? Are you looking for something the defense is doing, or are you looking at something you can improve on yourself?
I look at a little bit of both, but it's more about how I can improve on myself. And we break it down to details. Like, my stride is like a yard and a half, so if I take a stride and it's 1 yard, it means I'm not driving enough. I'm not coming off the ball hard enough, you know. Making sure I'm hitting 10 yards if it's a 10-yard route and not 9.5. Like, we look at stuff like that. We really break down to details because I believe that aspect is what took my game from being good to what it is now.
Wow, a yard and a half stride. That's 4.5 feet for everybody who doesn't know the math conversion. What would you say is the most important attribute to playing wide receiver?
I think the most important would be concentration. I think especially like going over the middle to catch a pass, knowing you're going to get hit by a linebacker, or when it's really cold outside, and I have to deal with this a lot in Canada, when it's really cold, you really have to focus on squeezing that ball because it's so easy to drop because there's so much going on in that game.
Yeah, absolutely. Just if you can put it into words, because this is one of those sports situations. I don't know if you can put it into words, but what's the overall feeling, or kind of walk us through, you know, they snap the ball, you're running your route, you're coming across the middle. It could be a slant, it could be a straight over, whatever it is. You go up for the ball, arms above your head. You know you're about to take one in the ribs. What's that feeling like? How can you describe that so that, you know, people who've never played?
Man, it's hard to describe. I've had a couple incidents where I've got caught and body slammed in the air. I normally just make my body go limp and close my eyes and just hope for the best. Hope I don't hit the ground too hard. Hope I don't land on my head. Just take a deep breath and deal with the pain.
Man, it's one of those. The only person that's ever really come up with a good answer there, or that's come up with a description, said it felt like a car crash, or it felt like getting clotheslined off a bicycle. And I was like, I'm gonna have to take your words on those.
Yeah. That's a pretty accurate description. Although, every time I'm put in that situation, I always make sure I talk to the quarterback on the sideline so we can come up with a plan so that will never happen again. Like, he has to throw me away from that defender.
Yeah. It's at that point you say, I'm down the sideline the rest of the game.
All right, exactly. I'm playing outside receiver the whole game.
Exactly. Let's see. Who was your favorite team growing up?
See, I've never really had a favorite team. I watched the Cowboys with me being from Texas, but I'm more or less just a Randy Moss fan growing up.
So is he your absolute be-all, end-all favorite?
Absolute favorite. Since I was, in junior high, because of his height and my height, I figured that would be a good person to pattern my game after.
I definitely can agree. He's definitely in my top for sure. What do you like about Randy Moss that made you really identify with the way he plays?
No matter how many people was holding him, he's going to come down with the ball. And that's something I really try to incorporate in my game. It could be two or three people holding him. He's going to find a way to come down with the football.
Yeah, I think a lot of my friends, especially the ones that are in studio right now, are laughing and pointing because they know I own at least three or four Moss jerseys that are just in the other side of the studio.
I had a bunch myself. I had the shoes that he had, the posters, bobbleheads. Man, I was a Moss fanatic back in school.
Wow. I guess mine stopped at just the jerseys, but I tend to collect those. But let's see. So you're I guess officially, unofficially listed at 6'4", 195. Is that pretty accurate, or is that to throw off the opposition a little bit?
That's pretty accurate, man. When I was in the CFL, I played at 215, 220, but I felt real sluggish.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make sure that I could get back to a weight to where I was moving fluidly. So I felt like 195 would be perfect weight.
Definitely so. I think in comparison, in the NFL, I think Eddie Lacy is learning that lesson now, that sometimes packing on a little bit more is not always helpful.
Yeah, Mr. Lacy packed on more than a little bit more. Although he was still moving good, though. Like, to be a big guy, he was running pretty good.
Yeah, but when you're used to being, you know, Barry Sanders, and you're running like, and you're stacked like Jerome Bettis, it's a little hard.
Yeah, I felt bad for the people who had to run full speed and tackle him. I know that was painful.
Yeah, that's when you throw out a foot and trip him or something. I'm not standing in front of him.
Yeah, got to go for his legs.
Exactly. What are your goals for football and then life beyond football?
Well, for football, my goal is to win a championship. That's something I have never whether it be Pop Warner, junior high school, college, on up, I've never won a championship in football. So that's my goal. Until I decide to quit playing the game, it's going to always be to win a ring. As far as after football is concerned, and I want to own a couple businesses. I want to own a couple youth centers to talk to kids, man. I didn't have too many role models growing up, so I want to be a role model to the kids that were behind me, especially the kids in art, man. With it being such a small town, a lot of the guys that leave don't go back to help those kids out, help them see that there's a lot of world out here that's outside of art, Texas, that they need to be able to see.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And what's it like being a role model?
It's a great feeling. It kind of helps you stay on a straight and narrow because, you know, you don't want to do anything crazy because, you know, you have somebody watching you, like, at all times. So it keeps you on that straight path.
Yeah, I could definitely see that, and that's what, you know, Charles Barkley a couple years ago said, whether you know it or not, everybody's a role model because somebody's always watching you, either knowing to do or not do what you're doing.
Yeah, it's always somebody, even if it's behind the scenes, they're keeping a close eye on you.
Yep, a cousin, a little brother, it could be the person across the street, anybody.
Yes, sir.
Tell me a little bit about your time in San Antonio.
My time in San Antonio was to be nice. It was interesting.
To be nice.
It was interesting. Yeah, I got traded to San Antonio from Pittsburgh, and I loved Pittsburgh. I fell in love with the city, the players, the coaching staff. I had fell in love with Pittsburgh. But when I got traded to San Antonio, it was rough.
I felt bad.
It was different. The funding wasn't really with the San Antonio team. So, I was sharing helmets with the kicker. So I would score a touchdown and give him my helmet, and then he would kick a field goal and give me back the helmet. Like it was crazy, man. Like it was really crazy.
Wow. So what's it like sharing a helmet with a kicker?
It wasn't a good experience, man, because the helmet was still too big for me. His head was bigger than mine, so I'll be running down the field and the helmet would just be bouncing up and down on my face.
At some point, did you ever look at the coach and said, hey, can we just have one helmet? I can kick.
It was later on in the season. I think they wanted to see how I was going to pan out. I think the second game I had 3 touchdowns and the fourth game I had 3 touchdowns. So after that, they finally went and bought me a new helmet.
Wow. I was about to say, you can start a Kickstarter or a GoFundMe account. Hey, I need a helmet.
We should have. It was embarrassing because fans were seeing that on TV. We had a couple games on ESPN, so I would score, and the fans would see me running off the field, taking off my helmet and giving it to a kicker. So it was real embarrassing.
Oh, wow. I'm getting shot a look from across the room. I believe I believe my producer's already going to try to find that video for me, so... I think I remember watching you guys play. I'm trying to remember. I watched a lot of indoor games years ago.
I think we had one game on ESPN or maybe a CBS Sports, and that was we played against Philadelphia, I believe. But the game with the helmet, it was the Iowa Barnstormers game, and it's clear as day. After every possession, me and him would switch the helmets.
Wow, That's definitely different, something different. I haven't heard that one yet about sharing helmets. It's a good thing it wasn't shoes or something, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we had a couple of those situations too. It wasn't me, but we had other players. Like it was the situation in San Antonio. We had great coaches, great players. It was a bad situation, man. It was just a really bad situation.
Yeah, I know a little bit about a lot of these indoor teams like that, and just sometimes the funds just don't match, or there can be a disagreement between owners, and it really affects the rest of the team.
Yeah, I believe that was our situation. I believe we didn't have an owner, so we was actually owned by the league, and it showed. As soon as I got off the plane, it showed.
Yeah, you probably didn't get back on it for a while. It was probably like a 2-man bicycle to go to game or something.
Right, we didn't practice inside. We practiced at a park.
Oh wow,
a dirt park. Yeah, it was bad, man.
Wow, was that one of the career defining welcome to the league or welcome to the pros moments for you?
No, that was actually the moment where I was like, man, I'm not in CFL anymore. I'm like, this is where I come to, and wow, have I failed that far? Like, do I need to keep playing after this?
Yeah, I bet it did. It makes you reevaluate to see if it's still what you want to do.
Right. That's why that was the last time I played. I didn't play this season. It was actually last season. That's why I took the year off, because I couldn't handle another season like that. It was rough.
Well, and then, of course, the Revolution come calling and give you another shot at being in the system and trying to reach your goals.
Yes, sir. I actually, funny story. Me and my girlfriend were here getting our oil change, and we was walking in Arlington to, I believe, Taco Bell. And one of the coaches saw me walking down the street and turned around and like followed me into Taco Bell. So when he comes, he stands behind me and I'm looking at him and he's looking at me and I'm like, do I know this dude? But like, I think like 5 minutes after staring at each other, I realized it was one of the coaches that I had knew from back when I was in Wichita, and he asked me if I wanted to play.
Wow, that goes to show you, especially in sports. I tell people all the time, never burn bridges. Always try to go out on a high note, even if it's a bad situation. Because, you know, that guy recognized you and said, you know what, you need to be with us.
Yeah, yes, sir. Funny, I don't know how he saw me walking down the street, but I'm glad he did, and I'm glad to be a part of Revolution.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Let's see. Oh, we actually had one of our fans apparently listening to the show sent in this question. They want to know, what did you order at Taco Bell that day?
I think she ordered. I don't remember what we ordered because I don't eat fast food at all. So it was one of those, I think we ordered maybe a drink or something like that. We don't really eat Taco Bell. It's not too good on my stomach.
Yeah, it unfortunately, and it's not personal Taco Bell because it's always been Taco Bell's always been good to me and my friends. But yeah, it's kind of hit or miss on a lot of people's systems nowadays.
Yeah, that's why I only go there for beverages.
And they have a plethora of those.
Yeah.
Which leads us to: do you have any fitness or nutrition tips? I mean, obviously, avoiding fast food is probably not a bad idea.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, my diet is pretty strict. It's pretty vanilla, man. I don't eat bread. I don't eat any sugar. I drink like a gallon to a gallon of water a day. I eat just straight baked chicken, baked fish, greens, spinach, green beans, salad, stuff like that. I try to stay pretty lean and keep my system pretty clean because I'm 28 now. I'm learning now more than I did when I was a young kid that what I eat really affects my body. So I had to keep it clean to keep down inflammation, keep down swelling, and it also helps my body to recover a little bit faster than it was earlier in life.
Yes, definitely. The earlier you learn that, the better.
It hit me hard, though. When it hit me, I think I was 26. I woke up and my knees was hurting. I'm like, oh, man, what is going on? I'm getting old.
Now I'm really getting looks from across the thing because there are a lot of people in this room right now that are older than 26. He didn't mean it's not a personal shot, guys. Quit making those
looks. No, not at all. It's not a personal shot.
No, they know that. They're trying to mess with me now. We have a lot of fun here at the studios. Do you have any hobbies or talents?
I still think basketball is a talent. I think it's a talent of mine. Like I said, I wanted to play basketball in high school, so I think that's a real good talent. Like, I'm real good at basketball. As far as hobbies, I read and I research a lot. Like, I'm a kind of an intellectual. Like, I thirst for knowledge. Like, I read so many books and do so much research. I like to be knowledgeable on a lot of topics. So in my free time, like maybe 8 to 10 hours a day, if I'm free, I'm reading a book.
I can definitely get behind that as well. I try to read as much as possible. Let's see. I want to go to basketball first. What position did you play in basketball?
I was guard. In high school, I was the post, but then when I moved to college, I was a shooting guard.
So you're a gunner then?
Yeah, I was an above the rim type player. I wasn't really much of a shooter, but if you threw a ball up anywhere above the rim, I'd catch it and dunk it.
Were you much of a passer? Because I find that a lot of shooting guards aren't big on passing.
Well, yeah, I was a real big passer, but I couldn't shoot. So I could find the open man real good.
Yeah, that's a skill I developed as well. Even though I was a pretty good shooter, I was only good outside the three-point arc. Inside, I might as well let somebody else throw it up there.
Oh, man, I think I can count on one hand the number of jump shots I actually took playing high school basketball, either the layups or just me passing to somebody else.
You know, it may have been at that point that your dad started really getting in your ear about trying to be a receiver.
It probably was. I think he saw it and was like, oh, he's not going to make it in basketball.
Yeah, he's watching you take free throws going, you know what? I'm gonna give that boy a helmet.
He gave it to me early. My very first Christmas gift that I can remember was shoulder pads and a helmet and a football. I think I was like 4. That was the very first Christmas gift I remember.
Wow. Then, of course, I do want to go back to you talk about reading a lot. What kind of stuff do you typically like to read? Just anything, or is there a particular type of stuff you're really into, maybe a favorite author or something?
I read a lot of, I guess you would say, self-improvement books. I read a lot of business books. I think I just read, I think it was like seven Strategies of Highly Successful People.
Mm-hmm.
I read books like that. Motivational books, because it's so much that goes on into the world, and it's easy to get down on yourself. So I got to keep those books and listen to a lot of motivational speakers like Eric Thomas, Les Brown, stuff like that, to keep my spirits up.
Definitely so. I can get behind those as well. And of course, if you are listening to us live on Blog Talk Radio for Revolution Zone, we're talking to one of the newest Texas Revolution. Of course, he's wide receiver Doug Pierce, and just a couple more questions, and I'll let you on about your day. I know you're busy and getting ready for the season in a couple weeks. Who's your favorite celebrity that you've met?
Oh, man, favorite celebrity that I've met. I don't know, man. I've never really been in awe of celebrities. So it's kind of hard for me to give a favorite celebrity that I've met. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Well, who would you like to meet?
I would like to meet... I would like to meet Obama. I would like to meet him before his term ends. I think I would like to meet President Obama.
And if you had one question to ask Obama, what would you ask him?
I would ask him... I would think I would ask him what it was like being president, of the United States. You know, I would ask him was this a dream that he had as a kid, or was it something that as he got older, he thought, you know, maybe I can be the president. I think I would ask him that.
You know, it could be a lot like you guys in sports in general, where, you know, as a kid, you kind of think, oh, this is a kind of cool career path or a cool idea, and then, you know, that opportunity to hit the next level materializes, and, you know, maybe people around him are like, you know, you got a shot at this.
Yeah. I want to know how many people actually told him he had a shot, though, when he first said, I wanted to be president. I want to see the look on their faces.
Yeah, exactly. And if you look at all the before they go in and then the after pictures, being president really wears on you.
Yeah, I saw a couple of those on the internet, man. It was...
They look real when they go out.
Yeah, like he's been under a lot of stress.
Yeah, I can only imagine so. And, you know, fortunately for him, he's pretty much doing the victory lap at this point. He's just got the last of this year to go before he can go back to taking jump shots and watching his kids run around.
Yeah, I don't know if his life will really ever go back to how it was before, though. He'll still pretty much be in the spotlight even after it's over.
Yeah, I would imagine so. And that's definitely stress that I don't want. You'll never see me run for president unless just absolutely I'm out of my mind.
Yeah, I don't think too many people – I think people might think they want that kind of stress, but I don't really think they understand it and want it.
Exactly. And then I got one last question for you. It's one I really enjoy asking all you guys this season, and that's, what's your message for the Revolution fans this season?
My message to the Revolution fans is just get ready. Be prepared, man. It's going to be an action-packed season. Like I said, I'm trying to win a ring. So I've talked to other couple players on the team, and that's the goal for this season, is to win a ring. So it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of great football being played. I mean, just come on out and enjoy it.
Definitely so, and if they're not motivated by listening to some of you guys as I've had you on the show, then I don't know what's going to motivate them, but the Allen Event Center is going to be rocking here in a couple weeks. I actually have some friends on the stealth that we may have on the next couple weeks, so you know, you, Doug, you might want to tune in as well and listen to some of the stuff they're saying. But I really feel like that game's going to be the kickoff to what's going to be a great season.
Oh, yes, sir. It definitely will be a great season. I'm looking forward to it.
And I appreciate you coming on tonight, Doug. And I'm going to let you on to the rest of your night. You're probably going to go work out or probably read some books probably by the time when you get out of here.
Yes, sir. A little bit of both, actually. Work out and then after that read the books. Yes, sir.
Or, you know, while you're on a treadmill or while you're on a bicycle or something, anything with your hands free, you could always be reading while you're doing it.
That's too bad. That's a little bit too much for me. I like to focus. I'm on it. When I'm in a weight room, I have to focus.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That concentration, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, like I said, definitely appreciate you being on with us, Doug, and look forward to seeing you perform this year. And we'll try to have you back on during the season to see how things are going.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all for having me.
All right. Have a good one.
You too.
And, of course, as I said, that was one of the newest Texas Revolution. That was wide receiver Doug Pierce. He was fun. All the guys are great having him on, but, I mean, he was fun. You know, coming from a small town, you end up playing in Canada. You get traded from a city you're really starting to adapt to one that's almost the polar opposite. You know, taking a year off, you know, trying to get the bearings back, and then the Revolution give him that opportunity. Happens to see a former coach that gives him the heads up. But definitely good having Doug back on. We're going to do our best to have him back on during the season. Of course, like I said, the season starts in about 3 weeks or so. I don't have the schedule in front of me. Can we get a schedule somewhere? And there we go. Friday, February 26th, that's just a couple weeks from now. The Texas Stuff will be at the Allen Event Center to take on your Texas Revolution, my Texas Revolution as well, our Texas Revolution, we'll say that. I think that game starts at 7, I believe so. Kickoff's probably about 7:05. Definitely want to try to be there for that. That is the exhibition game to start off the season. Like I said, we're going to have a couple of the members of the Stuff on in a couple of weeks. Just to kind of see where they're coming from and a lot of times you don't get to talk to the opposition. So we're going to see what the opposition are saying about playing against, because a lot of these guys have played against the Revolution over the years and a lot of these other players. So it'll be fun getting to know them and everything. And, of course, the first home game is Friday, March 11th. Also at 7 o'clock kickoff. I think 7:05 is actually the kickoff. The Amarillo Venom. One day I'll get it. The Venom are going to be at the Allen Event Center, of course, taking on our Revolution. Appreciate you guys tuning in and listening to us. Of course, we'll be back next week. Not sure who the guest is yet, but as soon as we know, we will definitely pass that along to you guys. Or if not, we're going to talk about the season. But I'm Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks for joining us live here for Revolution Zone on Blog Talk Radio. Today we are presented by Impact Media. Appreciate those guys. We'll see you guys next week. Go Revolution. And it's up.